My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Tim Hines hosts a great podcast called the Marketing Starter Podcast. Tim, tell these fine folks what they're going to get when they listen.
They're going to get great insights on how marketers can take an entrepreneurial attitude to what they do in marketing to be a little bit more successful. So I interview top marketers from all around the world, and heck, even some that are bottom and middle. It's really about marketers who embody the entrepreneurial spirit to be the best that they can be.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
They can, of course, subscribe on marketingpodcast.net, but they can also search for the show on all their favorite podcasting platforms, as well as visiting my website, which is tnhines.com/podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Hey, brand builders. Nick Westergaard here. Before we get to this week's guest, I wanted to mark a special occasion. That's because this show is our 400th episode of the On Brand podcast. These conversations with brand builders have truly been a gift to me. When I look back, there have been amazing moments, talking to inspirations like Seth Godin and Guy Kawasaki, mentors like Ann Handley and Jay Baer, and a number of exceptional brands, including Adobe, Ben & Jerry's, IBM, Maker's Mark, HBO, Salesforce, MasterCard, and more. We've also covered just about every topic on the subject of branding, from logos and naming to brand experience and culture. It's been an amazing journey. First and foremost, I wanted to thank you for being here along with me. Knowing that you're out there listening and hearing from you at events, on social media, and email means the world to me. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. For my part, I'm going to keep doing what I do, cranking out insightful interviews with smart brand builders with insights that can help you do your work. Also, because there are now 400, soon to be 400 plus episodes out there, we've organized things better for you over at onbrandpodcast.com. In addition to finding episodes, you'll find categories of episodes to search by: brand strategy, culture, customer experience, identity, leading brands, personal branding, story and content, trends and tech, and a special category called Icons on Brand. This is where I'll keep those really big episodes with special guests like Tom Peters, Alan Alda, and another special big interview coming up later this month. So happy 400th episode. I literally couldn't and wouldn't do this without you here listening. Now, let's get to this week's guest. I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Eric Yaverbaum.
Authenticity matters. People smell that. It's just a feeling when you're with people. Like, wow, we can do some crazy stuff together. Or, you know, this guy's kind of a little full of it. But what matters most to anybody, you want to figure out your whole life. Forget about just work. Your whole life. Figure out what your worst day was. That was actually your best. That's the day that changed you.
Eric Yaverbaum, CEO of Errico Communications, is a communications, media, and public relations expert with over 40 years in the industry, having co-founded
Jericho Communications and served as president from 1985 until its successful sale in 2006. Eric has worked with a wide range of top-of-their-industry clients, including Sony, IKEA, Progressive Insurance, Domino's, Beachbody, H&M, and fitness guru Jack LaLanne. Eric is also best-selling author who literally wrote the book on public relations, the industry standard bestseller Public Relations for Dummies, as well as six other titles, including Leadership Secrets of the World's Most Successful CEOs, with over 1 million copies sold. He'll be recounting his lifelong ability to look towards the bright side for his upcoming book, The Audacity of Silver Linings, set to release in 2022. He is a regular TV pundit, and his expert commentary has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Washington Post, New York Times, HuffPost, CNBC, MSNBC, Fox Business Inc., and PR Week, among others. Eric, welcome to On Brand.
Wow, thank you so much. I hope my mother hears that intro. That was very nice. Thank you.
She didn't, I'm available for a conference call later for special greetings from mothers reading bios for guests' moms. You know, it's like a new less famous version of Cameo. So I'll just read bios for people. Well, welcome, Eric. I am thrilled to have you here. You know, I want to dive in and talk about your PR career, your latest work. But in talking through all of that, and probably something to do with the million copies sold, I am captivated by the leadership secrets of the world's most successful CEOs. Tell me about one, how you came to that project, and what some of those secrets are that we might be able to borrow.
I'm not giving any secrets. You got to buy the book. my entire career, you know, I've been doing this for over 40 years now. And when I was younger in the industry, I had a few grand slams when I was really young, and I was always perplexed by, as I grew up in, you know, agency life and traipsed through the halls of corporate America, how it was that PR people, didn't matter who you were, you worked with the director of communications. No disrespect to the director of communications, but the director of communications reports to the assistant VP of marketing, who reports to the VP of marketing, who reports to the – I mean, it goes on and on and on until you get to the CEO. So if I could be convincing about things that I saw, plans that I wanted to put in place for an organization, the chances of me actually having a direct conversation with the top decision maker were nil and none. It just didn't happen. There was no PR people sitting on boards of directors. You know, I sit on many now. It was my ambition when I was younger to understand, how did that all work? How did leadership work? And how did you get access to the kind of people I wanted to get access to? And, you know, it took a real long time. It started at the Young Presidents Organization. When they invited me to join YPO, and if your listeners don't know YPO, if you qualify for YPO, find one. Try to get into one. It's real. It's not easy to get into. You do need to qualify. But when you get in, you're with it. You know, the old expression, it's lonely at the top. You're with top leaders. And what I learned in that organization, when I went into it, I felt like they made a mistake even asking me. I did not think I belonged at the same table as William Lauder and Massimo Ferragamo and Tony Malkin, you know, whose family owns the Empire State Building. I was like, whoa, to me, it was just like, pinch me. What am I doing here? I'm never going to talk. These are really successful people. I went from there when I started at YPO to inevitably I ran it. I was the chairperson of it for a decade in New York City. I sat on the international board. The exposure that I got to leaders, I learned so much. And I thought and my agency was growing. This is before I sold my first agency to Wall Street. So I thought to myself, wow, this is so interesting. I'm around so many successful people. And I got to tell you, sit at the winner's table. It's all a whole different conversation there. And it's been very, very influential, you know, in my career. And that is when I decided to write the book, Leadership Secrets of the World's Most Successful CEOs. And what that book did do for me was it gave me access. Everybody wanted to be in, literally. It's a who's who of everybody. I couldn't name drop if I wanted to. They're in the book. It won the access that it provided, but it gave me even more access to not just what happens in the office or in the boardroom. I went to dinner. You know, I went to soccer with the family and the kids. I got to see, you know, almost a 360-degree perspective of leadership and the quote-unquote formula or lack thereof. And, you know, that book and YPO combined to me have been a lifelong education in, you know, leadership, who are the great leaders and who are the not so great leaders. And it's not all as simple to measure as you think. And it doesn't always have to do with the with whatever the margin is or the amount of money that they make or the stock price. It's just a fascinating group I feel blessed to be a part of.
You know,
and look, vintage PR guy over here. I don't even know if I answered your question.
Well, you actually did right out of the gate, which is surprising for a PR guy. And that was no secrets. You got to buy the book. But I was going to follow up with the PR guy's annoyance, the persistent follow up question of, Is there some sort of teaser secret, like something that really gets people's attention? Because I love what you said about, you know, our focus in leadership is often, you know, we tend to over-index on the wrong things. Were there any surprises along the way?
I found out all sorts of surprises. I mean, the thing about it was, and you can apply it literally. I could apply this to wars. I could apply it to White Houses. I could apply it to September 11th. I could apply it to pandemics. I could apply it to your stock price. The thing about leadership is it's instinctual. Who are you? I mean, and if it's not instinctual, and part of instinctual is genetic, and part of instinctual is, you know, experience. Pay your dues. I did, and my dues helped me. I'm sure genetics didn't hurt, but, you know, philosophically, and I would say this absolutely about everybody I interviewed in that book, and I would all say that absolutely about almost any meeting I'm in, certainly any meeting I'm in with anybody, you know, who works at my place. If you're not the dumbest one in the room, you're in the wrong room. Be in a room with smart people that will challenge your perspective, give you room to think. As you should. I mean, I wake up curious. I did find that, and both at work and at life. And I don't know, to me, that's a better way to go. It's ever so interesting. And I did find that little twinkle in a lot of people's eyes, you know, that I spent, you know, time with. You know, you could fast forward right to the pandemic and say, you know, so who's not afraid right now? We don't know. All this, like, you know, fear of there was this whole illusion of control that, you know, the carpet got pulled out from under of us during a pandemic. No matter what you think about it one way or the other, that did happen. Maybe for a while. Maybe it's still going on for you. I have no idea. And everything in between, to each his own. Absolutely. But all of those lessons, all of those things that we've seen in the real world recently, in the past, you know, couple of years, they really show you a lot, you know, about people. And I do think that leaders that really love leading, like, you know, in a previous life, I was a crisis guy. If you were in crisis, I was your man. You want to go into a fire, walk in with me. I promise we are walking out unscathed every single solitary time. We actually do. You know, that was my training in the real world. I actually did that. You know, for corporate America. But, what I found about – and people do. They follow the leader. It's not fake optimism. You can't fake that. Authenticity matters. People smell that. whether they know what they're smelling or not. It's just a feeling when you're with people like, wow, we can do some crazy stuff together, or, you know, this guy's kind of a little full of it. And everything, you know, also everything in between. But what matters most to anybody, and I think the greatest leaders, you know, that I've been around in the course of my career would say some version of this. You want to figure out your whole life. Forget about just work. Your whole life. Figure out what your worst day was. That was actually your best. That's the day that changed you. And, you know, working for a living, which I've not been participatory in the last 20 years, I actually love what I do. I'm not working. I cannot believe that people pay me to give them advice like this. And they do. And they love it. And you know what happens to their companies? Their companies are better off for it. Not because they're in the news more, because they always are. I mean, that's our core competency. You're going to get exposure, information dissemination. People will hear about you. But how do you – it doesn't matter if you don't have the goods, if your company isn't – you know, I don't want to say a well-oiled machine. You know, that sounds like it should be a hashtag. But everything, the buck doesn't stop on the leader's desk. The buck starts on that desk. And, you know, we've just been through a period. I don't know whether we're out of it or not. I hope it's diminishing. But, you know, a lot of people on the front end of the pandemic, when the whole world seemed to just tip on its side and nobody knew what was going on, you know, if you were feeling like there was no way, and there was a lot of people that were feeling that way, all I said to them was, this is a really good time to make one. And I'll say the same thing about today for anybody who's having any difficulties personally or professionally. Today's a good day. Make a way. You actually can. You do control that. And for anybody, and this includes great leaders, how do you enjoy the space, you know, between where we are today? It doesn't matter however you want to categorize this particular day, and wherever you might actually be going, because you don't actually know the answer to that. We all have plans, but, you know, the expression, when we plan, God laughs. I mean, it did turn out that and we've seen this not from the front row, from being in it. That everything we thought might be gone tomorrow, it already is in so many ways. So what did all that worrying do for you? Nothing. Stuff happens. What every individual needs to do is, you know, we all got dealt some surprising, you know, new cards. And now we have to learn how to play those cards. And again, that's an everyday thing. And I'd say the same answer every day. Play the hell out of them.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Tim Hines hosts a great podcast called the Marketing Starter Podcast. Tim, tell these fine folks what they're going to get when they listen.
They're going to get great insights on how marketers can take an entrepreneurial attitude to what they do in marketing to be a little bit more successful. So I interview top marketers from all around the world, and heck, even some that are bottom and middle. It's really about marketers who embody the entrepreneurial spirit to be the best that they can be.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
They can, of course, subscribe on marketingpodcast.net, but they can also search for the show on all their favorite podcasting platforms, as well as visiting my website, which is tnhines.com/podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So you were talking about how this can be, you know, a lot of these principles can be applied anywhere. And you mentioned the White House, and I want to take a little digression and talk about how's a PR guy end up at the White House?
I don't think I did say the White House, but, you know, I at the risk of divulging national secrets, no, but I was there. Correct. Maybe I did mention it. I'm 60 and I can't remember what I said it, you know, 20 minutes ago. How do I end up at the White House? You know, I was honored to be asked, you know, my opinion on communications. I was there strictly to be on the transition team between Bush and Obama. And then I ended up staying around a year. For me, personally, that's not for me. I didn't love what I'll be in meetings and think, wait a minute. Where's the kids table here? I should not be in this room. It wasn't, you know, I've consulted politicians most of my career. And by the way, you want to run for president and hire me, you'll definitely lose. I stayed longer than I should have. I didn't love it, behind the great curtain over there. You know, I find politics to be a difficult playing field, obviously, for, you know, many. We look at it that way. And clearly there's some friction going on in there. But I would say everything in my career, the White House is the first time I ever sat in the Oval Office. I was so impressed with myself. I couldn't even believe it. I thought, OK, so when I walk out of the Oval Office, what's left? But that was, you know, I'd say the same thing about Super Bowls that, you know, I've been involved in. All sorts of every single solitary thing that I've been participatory, lucky, you know, or not. I mean, I do believe when, you know, preparation and hard work meet the right circumstances, you get lucky, but you got to prep and you got to put in the work and you got to do it day in and day out. And whether it's the White House, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's, you know, one Vanderbilt, you know, in New York City. And people have read about it all over the world, and Summit in particular on the 92nd floor. That building was that's the most expensive per square foot real estate in New York City. It's expensive. It's absolutely beautiful. They finished the construction of that building in the first year of the pandemic, which was supposed to be impossible. The opening and Summit, again, in particular, which is, I don't even know, out of this world, is just, I thought was the honor of a lifetime to be involved with, a family that I've worked with for 40 years. And when I stepped out of that, I said, wow, okay, that was supposed to be impossible, but that's, you know, open. That's already an iconic institution in New York City. It's part of culture. Nobody will. Now what? I always find something next, and I love that.
Well, that is, again, I think that journey is fascinating. And speaking of the journey, I'm fascinated by the labels in our line of work and how new ones come and go, ones that have been around persist, change. As someone who's written multiple books on public relations, what is your take of what public relations means in today's media environment?
I love talking about that.
There we go.
I do. I mean, it's just fascinating to me as a student of what I'll call information dissemination. I would say a former news junkie. You know, I was on air for a decade as a quote unquote political pundit who knew about as much as everybody else didn't know. In the old days, we watched TV and we read the newspaper and we read magazines. We still do that. That still actually exists. when the New York Times does something that I'm involved with, it ripples all over the digital world. The digital world obviously is, you know, much more prevalent. It's there's a whole new generation, or already a couple generations. That's where they're getting all their stuff from. You got social media, you got digital media, you got the old brick and mortar media. Look, I grew up as a kid with Walter Cronkite. I mean, and that's the way it was at the end of every broadcast, and you knew it was. Well, that's not the case anymore. And growing up in the industry, a friend of mine was a big shot producer at 2020. At the time, they were competing neck and neck with 60 Minutes. Danny Schechter wrote a book called The More You Watch, The Less You Know. We're talking 35 years ago. So for all the concerns everybody has about, you know, information, they've always been around. Now we got a lot more resources for information. What do we pick? Are we still watching CBS Evening News? Are we getting our information on TikTok or anything in between? There's so many different ways to get information. I think it's incumbent on every individual. You want to figure out what's really going on in the world. You pick your resources. Don't pick one. Pick opposing ones. Pick right, left, up, down. Hear a bunch of opinions. You're doing it anyway. You always have been. Don't let Facebook dictate, you know, which alleys you turn down. That's a really concerning thing about the internet and algorithms and how well your technology knows you, because your technology knows what you're predisposed to buying, what you're predisposed to thinking, and your technology will lead you right down that path all of the things that you're predisposed to if you let it. Here's the thing about technology, and technology factors heavy into information and everything that I do now. And I'm saying this to everybody who's listening to us right now. You use technology. Use it. Don't let it use you. Because right now, as currently constructed, the product is us. It's not supposed to be that way. Make sure that you're using social media. Social media isn't using you. Make sure you realize the differential before we make the big old leap into the metaverse while we're half here and half there. Don't forget to take a walk and look at the sunrise and the sunset. They're still real, and they're still very, very relevant, and they always will be.
Well, I love that point about making sure that you're using it and not vice versa, because, boy, it's easy to take a step back and see that you might not intend for the other one to be happening, but you end
well,
up.
Well, that's the thing. No, of course, that's right. How many people listening right now are saying to themselves, "Yeah, I don't intend that, but damn, I go on my phone to get an email, and suddenly I'm clicking on a hyperlink, and I'm over here, and before you know it, it's an hour and a half later, I'm down a rabbit hole that I was just coming to get one email."
Right. Yeah. So we've been talking about your journey, and before we go, I feel like we've mentioned it indirectly, but your latest work on the audacity of Silver Linings, what's the snapshot of that story?
Well, you know, I found it quizzical. Everything about my entire career is, you know, well manicured and orchestrated, and I, you know, Google me, you'll read all sorts of good stuff, all of which was managed by my own agency for 40 years. I've been in the news. What you're going to find, I mean, if you want to go, you know, the best place to bury a bad story is on page 2 of your Google search. You're going to have to go back about 25 pages to find anything bad about, you know, me. The audacity of Silver Linings came about by accident. I got COVID, and everybody was scared to hell 2 years ago. This is 2 years ago, March. And I just wanted to write a hopeful message, because I'm a hopeful guy. And I do believe that, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's a leadership thing. I have no idea. I think it's incumbent on leadership. I did 2 years ago, March, while I was sitting in bed for 89 days with an oxygen tank. I felt it was incumbent on leadership to spread calm, not spread chaos. And I wanted to be participatory in doing that. And, you know, one of my, I don't want to say hero, definitely that that would be adding too much to the story, but somebody that I took my cues from in from 1969, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, who people may not even know. I don't know if people even know who he is anymore. He's had an entire career and he's no longer with us. Before PBS was PBS, Fred Rogers testified before Congress. Nobody knew who he was to try to raise money for PBS. And one of the things that he said in that congressional testimony, which I'm pretty positive you could probably still find on YouTube, was that in times of distress, and I'm not going to get this quote exactly right, but in times of trouble, if you look for the helpers, you'll know there's hope. I wanted to be a helper in the beginning of the pandemic. And I thought I actually could be a helper because I'm like was poster child with COVID in bed, oxygen tank, healthy guy. This is what can happen. And guess what? I will prevail. I will see a better day. I'm going to get through this. And so are we all. My message went viral. It was like in newspapers all over the world. I did not expect that. This is a picture of me in bed with a piece of cardboard, as if I have no place to live, with a few words on that cardboard. Just and by the way, talking was a challenge at the time. The picture, the message, it was a Facebook post really for people who cared about me. And its virility, which was fascinating to me, not intended. I want to be, if anything, I'd rather be a beacon of health than a beacon of sick guy in bed. But the way that it touched people and influenced people, it was just too much. It was, to me, it ended up being the best thing I ever did in my life. I took on hope as a client and it worked. And hope is a really good thing. Hope's contagious. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And everything that I learned about, from having COVID, when you have COVID and you're on an oxygen tank and you're wondering about your next breath on a few nights, I can tell you breathing is underrated. So everybody listening to this is breathing. You know how lucky we are? That's a silver lining. It's just a silver lining. You're breathing. That alone is a silver lining. The entire book is all about that.
Awesome. I love the part about taking hope on as a client. That made me smile. Eric, it is my turn to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Steinberg Sports. I'm biased, but Lee Steinberg, if you've never heard of him, real life Jerry Maguire, they did a movie about him that really influenced me when I was younger. What he's done, his career, that agency, their role in the NFL, historic, is an understatement. I would buy every single solitary thing that they do or say in sports. Lee Steinberg is an idol of mine. He's a mentor. He's a friend. His career is well chronicled in the press. I love what they do and how they influence communities all over the country, all of the foundations that all of their athletes, have set up, which, don't take my word for it. I'm biased. Just read about it. What a great brand they are.
That is great. Love that story. Eric, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Too many places. Google me if you want. Only my mother has done that, and we did touch upon my mom at the beginning. You could go to my everybody will forget my name, I promise you, because my last name is Yabberbaum. I wrote PR for Dummies, which we didn't talk about. Everybody remembers PR for Dummies. If you Google that book, you'll get my name. You can go to my personal website, which is ericyabberbaum.com. You can go to my corporate website, which is ericopr.com. Or follow me on Instagram. I got a fitness journey going on for about 2,100 days in a row now. You can follow that too if you want. Anywhere, and you can find all that just by Googling my name.
Awesome. Well, that is great. And we will link up to as much as we can of the too many places in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Eric.
Everybody should have such a problem.
Thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor. Thank you so much.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember you can listen free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your favorite platform may be. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Tim Hines hosts a great podcast called the Marketing Starter Podcast. Tim, tell these fine folks what they're going to get when they listen.
They're going to get great insights on how marketers can take an entrepreneurial attitude to what they do in marketing to be a little bit more successful. So I interview top marketers from all around the world, and heck, even some that are bottom and middle. It's really about marketers who embody the entrepreneurial spirit to be the best that they can be.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
They can, of course, subscribe on marketingpodcast.net, but they can also search for the show on all their favorite podcasting platforms, as well as visiting my website, which is tnhines.com/podcast.
You heard him. Go subscribe. This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.